talk to you this morning about the resurrection repercussions, the things that happened after the resurrection. And 50 days after the Passover was the Feast of Pentecost. The word Pentecost actually means 50. And a lot of people, they correlate Pentecost with Pentecostals. You with me? And so, and then sometimes when we think about Pentecostals, we don't always know what to think. And there's a lot of different reactions to Pentecost. Some people think Pentecostals, like they bite the heads off of chickens, they play with some snakes, and they swing from their chandeliers. Those are Pentecostals. And then they're like, if you didn't know, we are Pentecostals around here. I don't know if you knew that or not, but like we believe in Pentecost. We believe in the gift of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We believe, in fact, when Jesus said that no good gift would he withhold from those that love him, we just get right under that Christmas tree because we want everything God has for us. Amen. So I just want to talk to you this morning about the Holy Spirit when the Holy Spirit fell. And we have a lot of different backgrounds in different religions here at this church, and we love to have everybody from every different thing. It's just like a box of chocolates, we just love chocolate. And so, thanks for being here. We understand that we don't want to compromise anything that the Word of God says, and we don't want to add to it or take away from it, amen? And so we have to be careful, though, because a good light always draws a few bugs. For every good thing, somebody's going to mess up a good thing. And so what I want to challenge you with, you may have had a lot of teaching about the Holy Spirit, about the baptism in the Holy Spirit, about speaking in other tongues as the Holy Spirit gives you utterance. Please, if there's negative things in your life about that, I just want to challenge you today. Please just open up your heart and open up your mind. And I promise you, I will not teach you anything that's not grounded in the Word of God. If it's in there, listen, if it's in there, we believe it. And if it's not in there, we're not going to touch it with a 10-foot pole. But I think a lot of times people ask a lot of questions that are irrelevant. Case in point, there is a group of lawyers in Massachusetts, and they printed these questions in the Association's Law Journal that some lawyers actually used in court. One of those questions was, the youngest son, the 20-year-old, how old is he? Yeah, no, really. I mean, another question was asked, was it you or your younger brother that was killed in the war? Here's another one. How far apart were the vehicles at the time of the collision? How far apart were the vehicles? Well, they're pretty close together. The last one, thank God. You were there until the time you left. Is that true? Seriously. I mean, like, seriously. Some questions do not deserve an answer. You with me? The questions about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, however, do deserve an answer. Today we're going to try to tackle some of those things. The baptism of the Holy Spirit, we believe, is for all of us. Some teaching on the Holy Spirit has been abused by an unbalanced focus on tongues, speaking in tongues, that sets up a sort of spiritual elitism, the haves and the have-nots. God doesn't give us any gift so that we can flaunt it in front of people. God doesn't give you something so that you can walk around with your nose up in the air and say, I'm so spiritual. He doesn't do that. He gives it to you for a specific reason, for a specific purpose. And we're going to get into that this morning. This too can and has caused many to miss out on all that God has for them. And many times what we in this culture today, we're really good at judging God from the way people live. We say, well, this certain person acts this way, and I don't want none of that. So please don't judge God by the way, can I say, stupid people live real fast. Don't judge God by that, okay? So we'll begin in the New Testament, the Old Testament. Does the Old Testament talk about spirit baptism? Well, the first function of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament, it talks about power, which is extraordinary power, something extraordinary that's happened in the Old Testament. While the Spirit's empowering work is evident in the Old Testament, it was limited to select individuals when the Holy Spirit came upon them. The Spirit came on Samson whenever he pushed the walls down. The Spirit came upon prophets whenever they prophesied and they told somebody what God had told them about that. And that's part of what happened in the Old Testament. And sometimes we read the Old Testament, we say, man, God was a harsh, hard God in the Old Testament. Listen to me, God never changes. And then what you saw in the Old Testament that was concealed was revealed in the New Testament. You see, when Jesus came, he came and he covered over those sins. A sacrifice of blood of the animals was not enough until the perfect sacrifice came. And you have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. And because of that, you are pure and holy in the sight of God because of Jesus' sacrifice. That should make us want to fall in love with him more and want everything that he has for us. Can you say amen to that? I want everything. I'm like, you got it, I want it. Free is for me. That's my little saying. Free is for me. You with me? However, the Old Testament looks for a new day when the Messiah, Jesus, would bring about an age when all of God's people would receive the empowerment to work to God's work. And Joel 2 in the Old Testament, Joel chapter 28, looked ahead in time, and it says, and afterwards, verse 28, it says, and afterwards I will pour out my spirit on all people. Everybody say all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. God said he would pour his spirit out and I will show wonders in the heaven and on earth. And he's looking forward back from the time of Joel all through the time of the dispensation of grace that we live in until Jesus comes back to get us. And he says, I will show wonders in the heavens and on earth, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. You remember a few months back, they had the blood, what they call the blood moon. I was like, that woke me up. And it says, and everyone, everybody say everyone. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So you have to, I have to call on the name of the Lord. I have to accept him and accept what he has and who he is. In contrast to the Old Testament, when the Spirit's empowering work was limited to select individuals, the outpouring of the Spirit in this future age will extend to all people. That's us, God's people, and will be characterized by the Spirit's empowering. The second function of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament was purification, which is important. In Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26, it says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone. He said, I'm going to take out your old hard heart. You ever get hard-hearted? Don't raise your hand. Did you ever get hard-hearted? And then he says, I will give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit in you. It wasn't like the Old Testament where he says he will give his spirit and he'll give it and take it away. But he said, I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. So what is the baptism in the Holy Spirit? Depends on who you ask. You need to understand that biblical writers sometimes used words and phrases in different ways. Case in point. If I said to you, if I made a statement to you, see, has anybody ever played I forget what it's called. This just came to you. Where you say a phrase and then you whisper it to somebody, and then by the time you get to the telephone game? What? Gossip. Okay. Well, since we're Christians, we'll call it the telephone game. But by the time it gets down to the end, I mean, it's a whole new. So if I said to you, if I made this statement to you this morning, case in point, that John Smith is hot, what would you think about it? You can tell your neighbor. What. Okay, you could take that a lot of different ways. In the well, it's a point in my sermon. So. If it's on a sports page, it would mean that John Smith was hot. I mean, he was making a lot of baskets and he was making a lot of touchdowns, whatever sport he was in. If it's in People's Magazine issue of the sexiest man alive, which most of you women were thinking about when I said John Smith was hot, then that would mean something different. What if we saw that John Smith was furiously yelling at someone? That would mean John Smith was hot, meaning he was mad, right? Or if John Smith had a thermometer in his mouth and a nurse was standing by him, you would say John Smith was hot because he had a temperature. You see what I'm saying? So we have to put everything in context, and we have to say it and think about it the way God meant for us to think about it. And I will say this, when it comes to the baptism in the Holy Spirit, it comes to speaking in tongues and all of those things in the scripture, if we're not comfortable with it, we're going to interpret it the way we want to because we're not comfortable with it. And I'll just say this, please don't ever interpret scripture in the way that makes you comfortable. Because that's just wrong. Just wrong. So the New Testament revelation of the Holy Spirit many times is interpreted according to our own circumstances that we've lived around. The same phrase used by different people in different circumstances can mean different things. According to Luke, the book of Luke, he emphasizes almost exclusively the Spirit's role in empowering believers. Why? The empowerment of a believer. Why? For service. In Luke 24, verse 49, it says, I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city, Jesus told him this, until you have been clothed with power from on high. This is what Jesus said to them. They didn't really know what was going to happen when they were in the upper room. They had to stay open in their heart, in their mind, their body, and their soul. They had to be open to what God was going to bring to them. They couldn't say, well, I've never seen that before, so I'm just not going to believe it. So here it is in Acts chapter 1, verse 4 and 8. On one occasion, verse 1, while he, meaning Jesus, was eating with them, he gave this command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. In other words, You've been baptized in water, but there's a baptism that is subsequent or something that follows your conversion, and that's going to be a baptism in the Holy Spirit. For case in point, you don't have to, let me just clear the air here. You don't have to speak in tongues in order to go to heaven. I mean, no place in the Bible does it say that. This is something that is additional power for you. It's kind of like, has anybody ever driven those old Chevy, is it 6.3 liter diesel pickups? That y'all don't know what I'm talking about. They're old. And they, like, going up over the mountains, if you're pulling a horse trailer, you can actually run faster than that pickup can take you over the mountains. But you get in one of them Dodge Cummins diesel pickups and you put the gas on that, that's power. Yeah. And so here it is. It's still a pickup and it's still going to get you over the mountain. It's just going to be a lot better deal if you get in the Dodge. I don't know how else to put it. More power. Are you with me? Does that kind of make sense to you? So he said, you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And it says, so when we meet together, when they met together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? And these disciples, they're just a hoot. Because they're like, Jesus is trying to, he's real serious about this stuff. And he's like, listen, I'm gonna give you power and the Holy Spirit's going to come on you and you're going to do some great things. And they're like, well, at this point in time, are we going to overtake the oppression here that we're under from the Roman Empire and the government here? Is this when you're going to kind of come and do your thing and we're going to get them people? The disciples, you laugh. Too many times we get off topic. And see, what happens when it comes to these things, this is really the crux of my message this morning, whatever it is. The crux of my message is too many people, when it comes to the baptism of the Holy Spirit, they focus on speaking in tongues. When God says the focus should always be about being witnesses and being empowered to live the life that he's called you to live. Speaking in tongues is what we do to edify ourselves, the scripture says, because it builds us up in the most holy faith. When we pray in our prayer language and we pray in God's will for things in our life, because, like, I mean, During worship time here at the church, I'm praying in the spirit over there because I need more strength. I need more power in my life. I mean, I poured it out in the first service, poured it out in the third service, and then nothing's left. I'm like, don't give them leftovers because there's nothing left over. See, but I have to have additional power. You with me? And so we all need that, though. And it's not about flaunting our gift, but it's about having that gift so we can be better men, better women, better witnesses for the kingdom of God, so we can have power in situations, in our businesses, in our world, in our marriages, with our kids. We can have information and wisdom from the Holy Spirit because he will pray to the Father on our behalf when we pray in the Spirit. It's not about speaking in tongues. It's about what that gift does in us, for us, and through us. In other words, we were immersed in water. Now God's saying, I want to immerse you in the Holy Spirit. I want to baptize you, and I want you to be immersed in everything that I have for you. And you see, us people that want to be in control, and even to the point sometimes of being controlling, we don't want a total immersion when it comes to the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We just want to get sprinkled a little bit. Woo, got a little quiet right there. I'll move on. So when they met together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? He didn't even answer their question. You know, it's kind of like them lawyer questions. Jesus is like, really? You're going to ask me that? So here's what he said to them. It is not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, in Conroe, in Montgomery, in Willis, in Huntsville, in Houston, Dacus, in Dobbin, in Anderson. Because he said the uttermost parts of the earth, that's us. He says you'll be witnesses wherever you are when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Now, let me just ask you this. This is a piercing question, but I do mean it. How are you at your witnessing? How you doing with that? What kind of a grade would you give yourself as a born-again believer? Are you actually telling other people about Christ? Are you letting them know what God has done for your life? Are you sharing your testimony, the thing that God has done with you, with other people? And what this is saying is, the Holy Spirit is saying, I want to help you improve your grade when it comes to helping other people know about Jesus and about eternity. That's it. Very well said. Thank you. I've had a lot of practice. 1 Corinthians 12:12, it says, the body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and though all parts are many, they form one body. In other words, we are all immersed in the Holy Spirit as one body for one purpose, for one cause, for one reason, and that is to hold up the name of Jesus wherever we are. I love that. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into the body, whether Jew, Greek, slave, or free, and we were all given one Spirit to drink. So the book of Acts uses several expressions interchangeably to describe the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I can't go through it. I don't have time for all of this, but it talks about baptism in the Holy Spirit, about the Spirit coming, about the Spirit falling on them, about the Spirit being poured out, about the promise of the Father, the promise of the Spirit, the gift of the Spirit, receiving the Holy Spirit and being filled with the Spirit. And I just challenge you, read the book of Acts and let the Holy Spirit teach you through this. And let me just recommend, I don't know if we have any of these Bibles back there in the bookstore back there, but the Spirit-filled study Bible. If you don't have one of those, I suggest you get a Spirit-filled study Bible, because it will explain all of these things so much better than I am. So here it is. No one term fully describes all that is involved in this experience. So what can we expect when we're baptized in the Holy Spirit? Jesus said it in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you to be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea. And he'll give us power to be bold under pressure. Whenever pressure comes on us, instead of giving in to the pressure, there will be a boldness in us that will step up. Peter being full of the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 4:8, it talks about that. He'll give us a revelation knowledge about what's going on in our life. The Holy Spirit can give us a word for somebody that we're in contact with. The Holy Spirit can give us knowledge. It can give us wisdom. It can give us a gift of discernment. You people that are in business, sometimes you need discernment as to the decisions that you need to make. The Holy Spirit can give you discernment where you don't have to go through all of the mess ups in your business. You can actually rely on the Holy Spirit to give you discernment. The power of the Holy Spirit. I can't get into all of the things the Holy Spirit wants to do in us, through our submission to him. Inspired speech. Witnessing, preaching, and Peter addressed the crowd. The same Peter that denied Jesus is the one that got up in front of the people on the day of Pentecost. 5,000 people got saved that one Sunday morning. Or it wasn't a Sunday. I don't know what day it was. But they got saved anyway. And, I mean, this was Peter that was denying Jesus. But when he was baptized, filled with the Holy Spirit, he got up and just went on with it. There's a boldness that comes in you whenever you submit to the Holy Spirit. Again, I think it's important, just because the book of Acts teaches that tongues are the evidence of the Spirit. Baptism does not mean that Christians should seek tongues for that purpose. We don't seek the tongues. We seek the giver of the gift of tongues. You with me? Let's stay real sharp here about this. In some circles, people who don't speak in tongues are made to feel like second-class citizens. That is not from God. Our desire should be the Spirit Himself and God's purposes in this world, not merely tongues as an evidence of the Spirit. The emphasis is not that we are baptized in the Spirit and that you will speak in tongues, but empowerment for that mission and the purpose behind your being able to pray in the Spirit. Praying in the Spirit enhances our ability to worship through serving. There's so many things that the Holy Spirit does for us. It says we're built up spiritually in 1 Corinthians 14:4. He gives us words to say when we pray in the Spirit. We can pray Spirit-led prayers. The Bible says also that the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is subject to the man or the person. In other words, when God baptizes you in the Holy Spirit and you begin to speak in tongues, you say whether you want to speak in tongues or not. The Holy Spirit doesn't possess you and you just go up, and I can't stop. It's not like that. You with me? The Spirit is subject to your decision to pray in the Spirit. Does that make sense? Okay. I love this stuff, and it's just good common sense. It should be common. Maybe it's uncommon. I'm not sure. So how can we receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit? I'm going to run through these six helpful considerations real fast. The experience is for all believers. The scripture says the baptism of the Holy Spirit is a gift. Jesus, he said this, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more would your Heavenly Father want to give good gifts to those that love him? A gift is not given because you deserve it and fasted long enough for it or waited long enough for it. The only requirement is faith, that you believe God and you love God, and God will give you this gift because it is a gift for everybody, as the scripture has said. And let me say this too. I got baptized in the Spirit when I was 16 years old, and I grew up in church where I mean, it was something, it was just normal for people to pray in the Spirit and pray in tongues. And I actually, I started praying for it when I was like 8 years old. The time I was 16, I was like, I don't think God likes me. You with me? So what I want to say is, God will do it in His way, in His time. Your job is just to ask and continue to seek and ask. Amen? Does that make sense? God's Spirit is, the Holy Spirit already lives. Let me emphasize this again. When you receive Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit already lives in you. This is something that is additional to salvation. We must be open and receptive to receive. In other words, you have to ask. If you don't ask for this gift, you won't get it. I have people all the time, I don't think I want that. And I say, well, you won't get it then. Just the way it is. I mean, if you don't want it, He's not going to make you do it. God, He didn't make you come to church today. You came to church because you wanted to, unless your wife made you or something like that. But, right? God's timing is not always our timing. Now, last Friday, we had some steers get out at the house, I got a dog that is very, very passionate about herding them cows. The problem is he don't know nothing. He's a big old stout dog. I mean, he's tough. I mean, a tough dog. And I know for a fact that dog belongs to me. It's like when we're in the house, when there's not any cattle out there, we don't have no cows in the house. So he's fine like that, because he's like, he follows me around everywhere he goes. And it's kind of like y'all are today. Like in church, you all are just like, y'all look so holy to me. I mean, you're like, y'all look like perfect Christians. Every one of y'all, you're just like, it's not hard to live for God in church. You with me? I mean, like, I even think I'm doing a good job. Because we can live like this in church, but we get out there in the world, we get in, and then I'm telling you what, Trip is this dog's name, and it's because I trip over him all the time. But when he gets around them cows, you can tell, and he gets this glazed over look on his face. We got anybody, please don't raise your hand on this one. Got anybody out there that you're addicted to something? That's the way it works. When you're addicted to something, you know it's not right, and you know it's not the right thing to do, but you just kind of get glazed over. And that's the way Trip is. When I can see that look in his eye, I go, Trip, and he goes, and he's gotten better, but he has not arrived yet. So, don't hold this against me, but I got a little thing called a shock collar I put on him. And when he runs off and does something stupid, Hey, don't hold it against me. Hey, if that makes you upset or it makes you mad, practice forgiveness. This is your opportunity in church to practice forgiveness for the preacher. Had a lady in the last service get a little upset, but she told me she forgave me after church. But what the Holy Spirit does for us, the Holy Spirit helps us in those times when we have difficult situations and we have a hard time being faithful to God. And then when you get victory over those things, then you can move into the place where you are being effectively a witness for the kingdom of God, and you're sharing your faith with other people, and it just comes out of your mouth. It just comes natural because that is what's in you. He is what's in you. When you are full of the Holy Spirit, you will be a good witness because that's what's in you, and what's in you always comes out of you. Scripture says, from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So whatever is in our heart is going to come out of our mouth. Don't you find it's interesting? This is just my observation. So don't you think it's interesting that God chose the tongue to use your tongue? So you were baptized in the Holy Spirit and with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, because if God can have your tongue, he got all of you. You with me? And it says, from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so when we submit our heart and our tongue to him, and we can pray in the Spirit, and we can be built up in the most holy faith, it just makes complete sense to me that God would use that to help us to get control of ourselves and to allow him to have control of us. Amen. So who wouldn't want that? Amen. Unless your pride told you that you know better than God. And that's what Tripp says. Tripp says, I know better than you. I know you're my master, and I know I belong to you, and I'm going to get fed tonight. Whether I listen to you or not. But then he comes home and he's still my dog. And it's not pleasant to be disciplined. Y'all with me? But whom the Lord loves, he disciplines. So he's going to help us and discipline us just as I help Tripp and discipline him. That doesn't mean he doesn't belong to me. It doesn't mean that you don't belong to God when you mess up. What it means is that you need more discipline in your life. And it comes through the power of the Holy Spirit living in you and you submitting to God's plan for you. And the biggest plan is him having your tongue. That's good. That's all I got. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your word. Yeah, we give you glory, Lord. We give you glory. Thank you for all you do for us. We pray, O Holy Spirit, that you would fill in the blanks. Lord, in areas where I may have failed in presenting it, the whole council here, it's hard to do it in this short time, but when we realize, Lord, as we walk through the book of Acts and we walk through what you have for us, I pray that you'd teach us, help us to have a teachable, humble heart. Fill us, Holy Spirit, this morning with all you have for us, we pray. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. I'd like for you to keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed for just a second. The first step in knowing Jesus and accepting the Holy Spirit in your life is by, first of all, just accepting Christ as your personal Savior. If you've never accepted him as your Savior, the scripture says that we've all sinned and we've all come short of the glory of God. Everybody in this building, including me, we've all sinned. Everybody in the world has sinned. And we have to come to Christ and say, God, please forgive me. I'm a sinner. I need your help. This morning, if you've never accepted Christ, or maybe if you have, you just really haven't been living for him, simply by raising your hand, say, preacher, I need Jesus in my life. I need to make him the Lord of my life. I don't want to go through another day not knowing where I'm going to spend eternity, and I want to know God better. Slip your hand up high. Ushers want to put a Bible in your hand. Thank you, partner. Leave your hand up till we get a Bible in it, please. Anybody else? Preacher, that's me. Thank you, buddy. I appreciate you. You can put your hand down. Anybody else? Preacher, that's me. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you so much. Thank you, ma'am. Anybody else? Preacher, I'm serious about God. I want everything that God has for me, and I don't want to just be living for myself anymore. I want to have a purpose in life. Anybody else? Preacher, that's me. Thank you, Lord. If you raise your hands, would you mind looking up at me? If you raise your hand, would you mind coming up and let me pray with you? Come on up. Thank you. Yeah, I appreciate it. I'm so proud of you guys. It's a great day for you. My goodness. Bless you, buddy. What's your name?
Chance.
Bless you, buddy.
Suzanne.
Suzanne, thank you for coming up. Listen, what the Bible says, it says we've all sinned. But he said, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God's raised him from the dead, that we'll be saved. So I can help you pray with your mouth, but you have to believe in your heart. Can we do that? Y'all help us pray. Just repeat after me. Say,
Dear Lord Jesus,
thank you for loving me.
Thank you for dying on the cross
for my sins. Lord, I am a sinner. Please forgive me. I invite you into my heart. I invite you into my life. From this day forward, I give my life to you. Help me to read my Bible, to pray, show up for church, and get baptized. I love you, Jesus. Teach me to love you more. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Looky here. You know what? This is a beautiful day for you guys. And listen, those tears are tears of joy. That's the Holy Spirit softening up your heart. You know where I preached about the old heart of stone and changing it and giving you a heart of flesh? You know, it's just like we cry all the time around here. We cry. They call it cowboy church, but it's really crybaby church. So, but we're glad that y'all are here, and I want to welcome you to the family of God. Let me tell you something. You're going to still have the same problems you had when you walk out the doors. But you got Jesus. You got the Holy Spirit living in you now. And he'll help you. You ask him to help you. He'll help you. You got to keep showing up if we're going to help you.
we do this all the time. Probably 1/4 of the people that do what you did come back and are faithful to the church. And I'm not saying this church. I'm just saying they just disappear because it's not important to them. Don't be like that. You stay strong. This is worth working at. Okay? Amen. Okay, go visit these ladies for just a second. Thank you. I'm so proud of y'all. Bless you, buddy. Thank you. Stand with me, please. Tomorrow night, we are going to, we'll have church again. And if you would like to be prayed for, how many say, preacher, I'd like to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. I'd like to get my prayer language. Slip your hand up high. Yep. Thank you. If you want to come tomorrow night, we'll pray over you on a Monday night. We just have more time on Monday nights. If you want to do that, listen, you can be baptized in the Holy Spirit while you're driving your car down the road. I've heard all the stories, and there's no one. It's like when you get baptized in water, you get in the water and you go down. But when you get baptized in the Holy Spirit, there's a lot of different ways you can be baptized in the Holy Spirit. But the main thing to do is to ask. Amen. And then to submit yourself to Him. Amen. How many, I want to ask a question. I'm going to say, preacher, I'm pretty good at following Jesus, but like old Tripp, there's a distraction in my life that I know is not honoring to God, and I don't like it at all. Slip your hand up high. Preacher, that's me. It's in my life, and I don't like it. That's the first step in victory right there, just raising your hands. It's the first step in victory. I want to pray for you. And we have our prayer team up here. If you need special prayer, they would love to pray with you. Or if you'd like to come to the altar, we invite you to do so. But let me pray for you. I'll raise your hands. Let's raise both our hands in submission to Him. Lord, as we raise our hands in submission to You, understanding that You do all things well, I pray, Lord, for everybody that's here. I pray, Lord, that You would just minister Your word to them. I pray, oh God, that You'd help every one of us, Lord, to be open and to for every gift that You have provided for us, Lord, so that we can have the Holy Spirit's power, the strength, the wisdom, the tenacity to stay hooked, Lord, with You. And I pray, oh God, that You'd help us, Holy Spirit, as You have convicted us today in areas of our lives where we fall short. I pray, oh God, that You would help us, Lord, just to pay attention to You when those temptations come, and to go to You and to run to You instead of running to the temptation. And I thank You for it in Jesus' name. And I smell victory in this place, God, because You are here, because the Holy Spirit is here, and because we submit to You in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen. Amen. God bless y'all. We love you. Thank you.